Good afternoon, St. Louis. DJS on KMOX. Happy Friday. I really had to think about that. We literally talked about it 20 seconds ago, and I still had to think about it.
Is it Monday?
Yeah. I know we do this a lot. We complain a little too inside baseball. Everyone has their own life going on, and we're like, it doesn't feel like the right day.
I think everybody's that way when you have a random day off in the middle of a week. Like, everybody comes back, and you're like, what is this?
Especially this one. I'm not going to complain about having a three-day weekend, but when you have a day off, then you work, then you have 3 days off, it just feels weird.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, no, not bad.
It's just weird.
Just odd.
Yeah. My dad was making fun of me the other day because he and I had dinner together, and I was like, except for Friday, I have a five-day weekend.
No, I get that.
He's like, because that's how I was looking at it. And he's like, oh, what's on? Do you work on Friday? I was like, yeah, full day, full normal 8-hour day.
I almost took off today. I had plenty of vacation time, but I took a couple days off when my mom passed away. And it's the Jack Glover in me. I just can't do it. I just, like, what I used to feel. I'm not a go-getter. I'm lazy. But, like, even when I was in college, when I would have a day without classes or work, I just felt terrible. Just felt like I should be doing something. And I didn't want to do it. Like, I didn't want to go create something or work my job. It's just, like, I just felt guilty. So I didn't take the day off. And aren't you glad?
I mean, it's nice having you around, Dave.
I think it's because you didn't trust Razor over there, what she might bring up if in your absence.
Yeah, that's true. Well, at least if she...
Who knows what I'll say.
If she brings it up and I'm not here, I can't get in trouble for
that's
it.
That's true.
So. To be fair, I probably wouldn't have put that on the show sheet if you weren't here, Dave. I just, you know, I saw it and I thought, this will give him something to talk about.
Yeah,
it's all about Dave.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that wasn't right, was it? It's got blame for Nipplegate.
No. It was that. I take full responsibility. I'm just saying.
I mean, let's be honest. It was hilarious.
Oh, it was one of the best things we've done all year.
That's the best thing about this group is the silliest, dumbest things turn into amazing stuff.
Absolutely.
I was so close to texting, like, dear Rachel, did we get in trouble?
I know. I went into Steve's office earlier and I was like, doo doo doo. Hoping you weren't listening to the show on Wednesday.
Did you really say something?
No. Oh. But I was bracing myself just in case.
Yeah. Just trying to kind of gauge how he's looking.
Just go in and see how he's feeling.
Yeah, never suspicious to go into your boss's office and be like, so, like, we don't have, like, anything to talk about, right? You haven't, like, heard anything around the office or whatever.
Yeah, we shouldn't be talking about it because I'm pretty sure he didn't hear it or we would have heard, even if it was just, that was really funny.
Yeah.
Or don't ever do that again. Or both, probably. But what are you going to do? This goes to show you how... This is like a microcosm for life. So the engineers who have been working on the computer room and the computers have to stay cold. They're far more important than we are. And so they literally have a big, what would that be called? Like a big collapsible pipe that's running from the computer room.
Oh, like a duct
work right into our office.
Yeah.
And it is taking out all the humidity and heat.
Fan blowing out the hot air.
And dumping it into our office. And so it's been terrible, right? Like,
oh, it's been so warm in there.
It's been the worst. And Steve, the aforementioned Steve, is on the same side as us. So he's hot, but then he comes into our office. He's like, this is terrible. So then I figured out how to make the air conditioner work this morning.
Oh.
And we've been freezing all day.
Wow.
Perfect.
Right?
Isn't that a fine fix?
We're just looking for that Goldilocks temperature.
Yeah.
And it's out there somewhere.
I know what you're talking about, though, because I did briefly walk by. I mean, we're on the opposite side of this level, but I did walk by that tube.
Yeah.
It was straight up hot air. It's like a hairdryer heat.
Yeah. And, I mean, I don't expect them to apologize for it, but they just so clearly said, like, yeah, the computers cannot get warm. I'm like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So it's okay
but
if we
you
are.
Can, yeah.
We'll just overheat our premiere talent.
That's fine.
Wait a minute. Is the midday show under the premiere talent?
I'm talking about Dave Glover, the...
Okay.
I don't think it's, like, a secret that Dave is, like, you know, the biggest talent in the building.
Jeez.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Okay. I mean, is there a... Big. I'm willing to have the conversation with anyone. Is there anyone?
Can you name a bigger one? Amy?
Better ratings and revenue?
We don't need to do this. We don't need to play this game.
I'm just.
No, I can't. Now that you bring it up.
It was uncomfortable for all of us. Let's go back to talking about
absolutely
nipples.
Absolutely hilarious.
Did you guys watch the interview last night?
Mm-hmm.
Relevant portions.
Yeah. Yeah, you're a highlight guy.
I am.
Yeah, that's nothing wrong with that. I thought that she came off okay, and I thought Tim Walz came off bad. Because he's not known for being a genius at anything. He's not known for his takes on foreign policy. He's known for being a likable, straight-shooting guy. And if he didn't expect Dana Bash to talk about his controversies, then he's not very bright at all. And I just thought he handled it terribly. Because when that's why you are in that seat is you're Mr. Likeable and Mr. Straight Shooter. And she said, you said that you carried weapons of war in war. What about that? And he started answering other questions.
He says, like, basically, he's not good at prepositions.
Not good at grammar.
His wife is good at grammar. So I'm like, okay.
That, I thought that was a terrible answer. I like the guy. I want to like the guy. Want to be able to feel good about him. It's not a deal breaker for me. But I just thought, when you only have one role, and you are given a chance, someone tees it up for you, and you're known for being Mr. Honest, just say, I carried weapons of war for 24 years in service of my country. I never once carried a weapon of war in war, and if I said I did, I was wrong, and I misspoke, and if it misled anyone, I apologize, and all the respect in the world to the people who did carry them in war, that's not me. Right?
Seems like that would be pretty easy.
I mean, it's you're telling the truth, and you're not giving up the farm, but you're also not answering a different question about kids getting shot in school.
Deflection's the worst thing. It's the worst thing. And that's what bothers me, too, about what happens in a lot of the debates, is you get asked a question and like, well, I don't want to talk about that. I want to go back to what we did 10 minutes ago. Just answer the question in front of you, and you should be prepared for anything that relates to you. And it's not hard to just say, I screwed up. I didn't mean to say it that way. I said it that way. That was stupid. That's not what I did. Here's what I did.
Yeah.
That's it. The end.
I agree. I also thought it was interesting. I watched the after coverage, and all of the Republicans on all the stations were really going after Kamala Harris for changing her positions and going to the middle. First of all, I feel a little smart. The headline on Drudge today was Kamala Harris races to the middle. And I've been saying for years that the first party that goes to the middle wins.
Yes.
And maybe I'll be right, maybe I'll be wrong. But I thought it was an interesting thing because they just kept complaining about her changing her positions. Doesn't that mean then, just from a syllogistic logic point, that she has the right positions now? Because if you're mad about her changing positions,
right, if she was wrong before,
just attack those positions.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if the positions that she has today are also wrong, then just attack those positions. Like, yeah. She changed her positions and they're still wrong, but you're basically admitting that she's in the right place, which is not where you are. You're not sitting on the same stool that she is.
This is what I hate about the game that's being played. So you care if your opponent changes their position on things, but you don't care that J.D. Vance destroyed Donald Trump and now kisses his ass. And you don't care that Donald Trump changes his positions. He's done it. And not even in a bad way. Sometimes it's been in a very good way. Mm-hmm. I know everybody gets into the Trump bad thing. That's not what I'm talking about. There are times where he's made strategic changes in how he views things and he's changed. You can't attack someone else for doing something your people do.
Agreed.
Unless you're willing to come after your own people, too. And I don't know why it's so hard for people to just be okay with being consistent, to apply the same standard. You can't do the, well, when you do it, it's bad, but when I do it, it's okay, because that's just nonsense. It's childish.
And everyone sees it. All the watchers, all the people watching these big players, we're not stupid. We make our own mistakes. We have our own things to defend, like Tim Walz or not like Tim Walz. We get what's going on. We're treated.
The problem is,
like,
there are people that don't pay attention that will only hear what they said and will not acknowledge the other things because they may not have even heard those other things. But they're hearing you right now say they keep changing. They keep changing. And if you're somebody that doesn't pay attention to the big picture and all you hear is what your people say, You don't think they're changing. You think only the other guys change.
One last take on just the news last night. CNN was pounding the fact that it's now $1 million to join Mar-a-Lago. And you know what? I don't like Donald Trump. I don't think he's an especially good person. But he is a private citizen that owns a private business, and he should charge what he can get.
Mm-hmm.
If someone's dumb enough to pay $1 million to belong to his place, take it from him. If they're dumb enough to pay $10 million, take it from him. If you think that he's taking advantage, then he's not a very nice person. But what he's doing is not wrong or illegal. And I just thought that, it, like, we talked about this, Rach, and we talked about it on the show, that that CNN is just the most biased network who don't seem to believe they're biased. And that's a perfect example of it. To me, it's pounding on that it's $1 million to join Mar-a-Lago. Who cares what? Who cares how much it is?
Yeah, I think, like, I would say the bias of, like, I watch a lot of CNN. It's a different. I think CNN does a relatively good job when it comes to Trump. That is their favorite, right? So they will hyper focus on Trump. I think MSNBC is way worse to the left. Fox is way to the right. CNN, you can usually, you know, tell, okay, you know, this is what I agree on with, this is what I don't agree with. They have their panels, they have their conservative contributors as well. But with Trump, yes, there is the hyper focus on Trump. You know, I think I'm the only person who likes, I think I like Kamala Harris more than Tim Walz. There's something doesn't do it for me with Tim Walz. He comes across as more fake. With Kamala Harris, I think she, you know, with her job as the, you know, the Attorney General of California and as a senator. Yeah, she was very progressive, very, very left, because you're kind of in a San Francisco progressive bubble. Now she's been taken out of that bubble, and now she's in the United States, which is not overall San Francisco. And so you are going to have every politician try to become more appealing. You know, you can say it's like a smart line or, you know, a BS line that, well, I haven't changed my values, but, you know, this position has changed on fracking, on private insurance, on decriminalizing the border, on mandating EVs, right? Those are all very popular talking points in California and San Francisco. Does it mean that I don't think she believes any of them? No, maybe she does believe some of them. But what do we always say? You have to compromise. Once you get to Washington, D.C., you're going to have to compromise. And so let's say she doesn't even believe her suddenly more moderate stances. Okay, well, I actually only care is does she act on them? Because if she wins, I would rather have the more moderate Kamala.
Yeah, we don't have time to go to Paul, but he says she's not changing her position. She's lying about her positions.
Well, but if she, let's say she's lying, but she still acts in a more moderate way because she has to, isn't that better?
Yeah, you need to govern who you're governing. If you're going to govern the entire country, you can't govern it like it's one progressive county in California.
123 DGS. I talk way too much about myself. I talk too much about my anxiety, and I talk too much about my driving anxiety, and I talk too much about my referred driving anxiety from Phoebe, driving 4 hours home from KU, and she's coming home probably today, this weekend, and then probably again for my birthday next week, and I'm just torn up about it because I'm riddled with anxiety, and I started thinking about, would it be better if we really had automatic cars, or would that be worse? You know what I mean? Which just kind of took me down a rabbit hole of just automatic cars.
Yeah.
Self-driving.
I mean, it would have to be all of them. Like the Minority Report.
Yeah.
Right? Oof. Where you just jump in and everything's, it's not necessarily on a rail, but it's whatever means they would use.
You're right. Recipe for disaster, having humans and robots.
Yeah. Mixing inconsistent with consistent is probably not great.
Yeah. Is it? It's just too bad that it's not like Japan, where we have high-speed trains. I'm sure that would make me anxious too. But you know, if we had really, truly great public transit, where you could jump on a train and be home in a couple, 3 hours, and it'd be nice.
Yeah, I mean, those things are possible. And like, for example, if you want to go to Chicago, you can do that. You can jump on the train here. You can get to downtown Chicago, and you could walk a couple blocks to another station that will then have train lines that go out in every direction to every suburban area. Here, you have one place that you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And now you can still get to Metrolink, and it's a little bit more complicated, but it doesn't go in every direction.
Yeah.
It doesn't go every, like, it's not quite as involved, but it does take more time, and it's cheap, might be cheaper than gas. I don't know, but there's a lot to it.
Doesn't it suck? Like, maybe I've just watched too many movies or I'm too into trains, but like when you see movies from like the 40s and 50s and they go to a train station, it's always nice. The train station downtown is a pit. I drive by it literally every day when I get off at 14th Street, just like you do. And it's just a scary looking, dirty pit.
Yeah. It's not that way everywhere. I mean, Union Station in Chicago is not like that. You could fix it up.
Yeah.
And in other places, like if you go to Europe, the train stations are gorgeous.
Yeah.
They're really well made because they're used a lot. And I think that's part of the problem here. We don't use them as much.
Well, and part of the problem, I think, isn't fixing them up. It's them getting destroyed in the first place, right? If they spend a bunch of money to fix it up and it just gets destroyed again, what's the point of doing it? You have to stop it from getting destroyed and being turned into a pit in the first place.
Yeah, but that becomes part of that comes with usage, though. If you don't have enough people using it, it's going to be basically ignored, and that's when the deterioration starts, and that's when, you know, whatever other impact, you know, whether it's crime or anything else. It's like, and I think it's a point
you're
that
right. We got to get people riding trains again.
No, I'm just saying that if you don't,
to. Yeah, the one in Kirkwood's adorable.
I'm not kidding.
It would be great.
I would love trains.
You would like the station in Kirkwood, the Amtrak station. It looks fake. It's so cute and quaint. I thought it was like a visitor center.
If I could jump on,
it's really cute.
If I could jump on a train that was somewhere vaguely close to where I live and ride that in, I would do it. Saves me in gas money. Saves me. I can sit there and do things. I can play on my phone or whatever. I don't have to drive.
Yeah.
But it's just not where I live. It's not a thing. It's not possible. And even if I lived along, you know, the Metrolink.
Mm-hmm.
Does it get me where I need to go? Pretty close here. Pretty close to work here. But in a lot of cases, it's not close to where you need to be.
But then maybe I've just believed the stories too much, or I've made too much of them, or maybe I'm just a coward. But I used to ride the Metrolink when I lived in the West End when I was a lawyer every day, and it was new and it was nice and it was safe and it was cool, and I felt like I lived in Connecticut and I'm going into New York City. I don't think I'd ride it now.
Were there a lot of people?
Yeah.
That's
a lot of business
that's
people.
That's the main thing.
It's Ronchi's biggest point when we talk about downtown. I think he nails it. You need more people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have more people, you're not going to have the safety. You're not going to have clean, because there's no incentive to keep up something that's not being used as much.
I'm just laughing because when Ronj, the last time he took a train to Chicago, his friend picked him up and was like, okay, Joe Biden. He loves trains so much. Okay.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
133 DGS. Maybe I'm in such an introspective mood because of the weird day and whatnot, but I'm listening to the Del Walmsley commercial there about how to get rich and buy 5,000 units and keep putting the profits back in. I couldn't care less. I just don't have that gene. Like, I do pretty well, and I'm glad. That's nice. But there's not a bone in my body. I don't even understand compound interest. Money is just so lost on me. And I'm kind of glad.
Producer said, he goes, you know, Del Walmsley and the Wealth Cycle kind of sounds like an old-timey band from the 1950s. Kind of does. Kind of like it.
I get everybody's different, right? Like, some people, money is the motivator. And even if that means they have to go to work and do something they hate, if they're getting what they want, that's the motivator. Not, I'm like you. It's not me. Like, it matters. I want to make more money. I do things to make more money. I try, but I'm not going to dedicate every minute of my time to it.
Yeah.
Because my number one goal in life has always been, I want to have fun every day. If I have fun every day, I'm going to be in the good mood. I'm going to be the person that can be good for my family, can be good for everybody else around me. if you're just miserable chasing money, and not everybody is, by the way. Some people are enthralled by that, and they love it, and that's fine. Do what you enjoy.
I couldn't agree more.
Well, don't you have to have money to start making moves like
that
anyway?
I'm sure Dell would disagree.
Well, I mean, I'm over here like, I feel like I might have that gene, but I don't have any money to chase it. So I'm like, I got nothing to start with. So just keep chilling on the sidelines over here.
You gotta learn the trick that all the really rich dudes do, and that is to use other people's money to get money for you. They're really good at that.
Kevin, can I have some money?
Yeah.
Or invent something, like the guy that invented wheels on luggage. He had a really big home in Jupiter next to Celine Dion.
Really?
Yeah. Nice. But wheels on luggage, it's a classic.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't invent it.
Nope.
We didn't invent it. Took that guy.
Yep. In fairness, he had a head start. That was a long time ago.
Was it?
I mean, he was still alive when Celine Dion was alive.
She is alive. She's still alive.
That's what I mean. So it's not like the Civil War.
No, no, but I'm saying it's before I could have done it. There were wheels on suitcases when I was a kid.
What if you would have invented it and then it would have been called like Wheels. Yeah. That would have been crazy.
It would have been called Wheelers.
I had it.
In some other alternate universe, it probably exists that way.
Andrew managed to hurt my feelings yesterday. I didn't tell you this.
Uh-oh.
No, it's all me. It's not you. It's me. I'm way too sensitive, and you'll see why. I have it right here. Do 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 do.
Oh, I know what this is already.
You tell me.
It's the pyramid.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was
worried I hurt your feelings.
Three fourths the way through making the pyramid game because I did it last week and
it was a blast.
Very satisfying.
It was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And so I was making categories. One was called wheels, things with wheels. And see how good I am at it? But and so I was texting with Andrew, like, how we look for tomorrow. And I go, I can put together a pyramid. And he goes, not needed, period. And then he just kept on going with his text. And I was like,
oh,
ow.
That's terrible.
I meant to send a follow-up. I really did. But I got distracted. I want to send a follow-up that's like that we should totally do a pyramid. I don't know if there was really room for it today, but we should do another pyramid like that soon because that was a total blast. And I thought it really did go very well.
That would have been a different message.
It would have been a different message.
Go ahead.
I said, not necessary.
This is one of those where you have to know the person you're texting with, right?
Yeah.
Because
some people would be actually blowing you off by saying that.
Probably not him. I'm not blowing you off. I just meant like we don't have to worry about it. We're not strapped for.
I do that sometimes. We're like, I'll just fire off a text or an email. Like maybe it's in the middle of the show. And then later I look at it and I'm like, I came across as so rude just because I'm not using like smileys and exclamation points. And so Andrew is a very like up texter. So I could see like getting the not needed, how that would be is everything okay?
Not necessary, period.
Right. Because the way you think things, because you could say that, those two words in a bunch of different ways. And if
like,
you hear the tone, it's that tells you the whole thing, but obviously in a text, there is no tone.
My dad's like the ultimate business guy. He's not a big texter. You know, emails are short and to the point, and he like never emails me because why would he? But he sent me an email and it was like forwarded and it was about, it's like apartment, like renter's insurance. It said, AIM, we'll talk about this later, period. And I was like,
ouch.
Oh my gosh, I've committed a crime or I've done something terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I called him. I'm like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, I just think we should talk about that. I think that's a good idea. Renter's insurance. But AIM, we'll talk about this later. Sounds like
that's
we
rough.
All know what's going on.
That's rough.
Ew.
Okay. Rereading this, I can see how it went. Because the other thing I did that you didn't mention is at the end of the text, I was like, if you wanted to play like a game or something, maybe we could do like a Craigslist, which Rachel puts together.
Yeah.
So the tone of the text is very much like
very head patty.
I don't know if you need to be putting together a game.
You've done quite
Dave, you're
enough.
A very good boy and you did a great job.
What I really meant is that
didn't
can
make
be,
me feel like the premier talent in the building.
That can be a big half hour extravaganza that we should focus on instead of like shoving it to the side like we would have had to today.
Oh, if you could have seen me. I was just sitting there by myself.
Were you like, son of a...
Making... No, I was hurt. I was like, making the pyramid.
I'm sorry, that was me. I'm the angry one.
Yeah, no, I made it through like three or four categories, and I was working on my fourth, and I got that, and I just put it away.
You didn't text me back, and I was like, that's... Because we had been texting. I was like, that's weird.
Were you the...
That's weird that I
got the message.
Were you the embodiment of the...
pretty much.
Was it that feeling?
Like when Amy goes,
I feel dreadful. I'm very sorry.
The face.
I get it from my mom. It's genetic, not my fault.
You guys both do that?
I'll just set this aside.
Let the record show Dave does a great pyramid.
To your point about your dad and how he is and sending you stuff, I was complaining to Trish Gazelle the other day about something to do with Phoebe, and she doesn't love me enough or whatever. Like, you've met me. And she was like, let me tell you something. Like, I love my dad more than anyone in the world. I would have never considered going on a vacation with him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Like, are you kidding me?
It's like, just hard to know. Sometimes it's hard to just keep an eye on what else is happening everywhere else, right?
It is.
Because my dad's the best, but he also pisses me off sometimes. Like, it's just the way we are. And I'm sure I do the same thing to him.
What does your dad do that makes you mad, Wheels?
Yeah, I was interested in that.
Micromanaging everything. Okay. Micromanaging everything.
So, like, you're going down there to take care of him when he fixes
it could be that. I mean, it could
whatever.
Be something that doesn't even involve him, and he wants to tell us every step of the way. And I'm like, Dad, I'm 52. I'll figure it out. It's okay.
I'm sure a lot of people relate to what I'm about to say. I was a grown up when my dad died. He died in 2002, but I wasn't a grown up.
I get what you mean. Yeah.
I really wish I could have gotten to know him as a grown up. Mm. That would have been nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, my mom and I grew so much closer after she had her fall. You know, she needed me. She needed me for the past 20 years, but she really needed me. And while she was still fairly with it, we really, really bonded. And I'll always be thankful for that.
Yeah. Cool. But it doesn't mean that you don't annoy them and they don't annoy you.
Yes.
You know, like, I mean, my dad's one of my best friends. I mean, we've spent millions. I mean, I don't millions. It's probably thousands and thousands of hours doing things together and having a blast and doing all that. But we still annoy each other.
Because he's like you? Or you're like him?
In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. And that's where the rub comes in, right? Sometimes it's our similarities that, because we're both bulldogs and we like to fight. So when we go, we go. But then there are things that, like, he is, I can't let anything rest. It needs to get done now, even though the thing we're talking about is 6 months from now. And I am the, I don't know what's going to happen 6 months from now. Call me in 3 months. I don't want to deal with it at the moment because I don't know at the moment what that's going to look like.
Again, I'm going to say it. You're the luckiest guy in the world because you are a slacker that has no reaction to it. Right?
In some ways.
Yeah, like there are some people who are go-getters.
Yeah.
And then there are people like you and me who are slackers. We're just going to let that happen. But I have anxiety about it, and you don't. You're the luckiest guy in the world.
Oh, in that way, I would agree. Yeah.
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 You just don't sweat it.
I don't slack with something that matters to me in the moment. Like, I know what it takes to do a job. I know what it takes that I have, whether it's coaching or
you're
this
not a
or whatever.
Hard.
No, but I'm not also, like, I don't need to have an answer to a question 6 months from now.
Yeah. Hmm.
I'm okay with not knowing. I mean, that's basically, if you want to sum me up, that's probably me. I'm okay with the answer being, I don't know. Doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. I don't know doesn't bother me.
What do you know about Tommy Pham?
I don't know.
That went through
me. I know that he's on waivers.
Yeah, that went through me. I got to admit.
Yeah.
I don't take it personally like Tommy Pham and I are buddies or something, but that seems like a dickin'. You know, you bring him in and then you send him away.
Yeah. In reality, this could be a favor to him. I mean, if you're looking at it from the simplest, he's not going to be here next year. He's not playing every day. When he got here, he was pretty clear that he thinks he's an everyday player. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be a platoon player if he's here. Like, that's how it's going to be. And for everybody that's listening, Tommy Pham's on waivers, but he's still on the active roster until that's sorted out. So he could play today, even though he's on waivers and another team could claim
and
him tomorrow.
And isn't the playoff roster deadline tomorrow?
Well, that's the thing. September 1st is the deadline.
Oh, I didn't know.
So if he's not, if you didn't do this now, there wouldn't be a chance for him to go to a contender and be on the playoff roster. So let's say the Dodgers are like, you know what? We could really use one more dude for free. For free in terms of not costing you a player. You just have to pick up the rest of what he's owed. They could easily put in that claim, and he could be on the best team in baseball tomorrow and be eligible for the playoffs. So in a way, it could be a favor to him in that regard.
Not that he's alone in this or that there's anything illegal about it, but does he overvalue himself, you think?
Based on his performance right now, yes. But, I mean, I think most people in sports do. I think most elite I always did, and I wasn't good, but I thought I was better than I was. I mean, I think that's kind of the nature of being a competitive athlete, is you always should. I think a really competitive athlete should always think they're a little better than they are. And some guys, I don't know if Aaron Judge thinks that. Aaron Judge is about as good as you can be. But I wonder if he thinks sometimes that he's better than he actually is, that there's more. I think that's a normal thing for someone that is that competitive.
Do you agree with that, Aim, being an elite runner? You need to think you're an even better runner than you are?
I wish I did. I think it totally depends on the sport, right? Think of the sprinters, right? I'm the greatest, right? And they're like, there's that just super hyper competitive that I'm going to channel this otherworldly superhuman intensity in the 10th of a second. And I can't even have a moment of doubt. The marathon runners, they run and they're like, honestly, I'm just glad we're all still alive today. And I'm just glad I got here. So I would say with running, having a little bit of swagger really does help. While still in a marathon, you have to respect the different distance. You can't be stupid.
I'm talking about the guys. Like, so let's say the 20th best marathoner in the world absolutely thinks they could win that race that day.
No.
Absolutely thinks they can, or they wouldn't do it. They're working towards that.
She says no.
No.
In the world, I mean, the best in the world are always thinking, I could be the best in the world.
So, like, the American women, there's probably deep down a thought in their mind, like in the Chicago Marathon or the London Marathon. Like, maybe if some of the other women don't have their best day,
right,
if I have the best day.
Right.
But, I mean, an American woman isn't even within 8 minutes of the world record, the Kenyans who are running 2:11, 2:14. So you go because you want to be the best that your country's ever sent. And also, you win a lot of money. So a lot of marathoners go in knowing they can't win. Literally, the American woman who came in 11th in the Olympic marathon, Dakota Lindworm, she's like, oh, I just really, really was hoping that if I had a perfect day, I could be top 10. She wasn't going in. I mean, of course, there's always a chance. You're an athlete. Yeah. You're thinking maybe I will win. But she was like, I know I could have been top 10.
By the way, update, Tommy Pham designated for assignment, which means nobody claimed him. And Jordan Walker's being called up.
Wow.
There you go.
152 DGS. Coming up the top of the hour, we have a really interesting segment. Jared Young, who is running independent for Senate against Hawley and Kuntz. I think Kuntz will be on next Wednesday. But Jared Young was on the show last week and he's running independent. And he has got this cool thing that he's doing where he buys tickets behind home plate for people. But you get seated next to a stranger who disagrees with you politically. And then they in this case, film and record everything. And we have Julian and John who did this. It's called United Seats of America. I think that's a clever idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool. So we'll get to hear from them.
I like it.
It's like put people in a room. You can't come out until you guys are friends.
Well, just like
that'd be another way. Sure. Yeah.
Well, just, humanizes, right? Because like especially very online, you know, you dehumanize, you even demonize, right? Whether it's cable news or online. And so you get the very, very isolated online people going like civil war. No, you've got soccer practice. I've got soccer practice for my kids, right? We've got to make dinner. We're going to go to the grocery store. When you're sitting next to each other, it makes you realize, okay, we're just two Americans hanging out at a baseball game. We may disagree. And oh, by the way, we're still Americans, because if you are a white American or a black American or a progressive American or a conservative American and you go to Germany or you go to England, you know what they see? Americans. They're like, oh, you guys are all kind of the same. You're all Americans.
You're all wearing sandals with your shorts.
And baseball caps.
Is that bad?
Actually, that's actually a European thing. People need to start thinking for themselves and stop listening to online voices. Because Amy's right, the entire idea is dehumanizing your opponent and turning your opponent into your enemy. When the Cardinals play the Yankees this weekend, they don't hate each other. They're not trying to kill each other. They do not look at the other side as the enemy. It's the opponent. Those are different things. You can compete against an opponent and then go out to dinner with them after the game. You would never go out to dinner with your enemy, but you do all the time if you're thinking about politics. People in my life are all over the political spectrum. I don't care because they're not the enemy. My next door neighbor or my uncle who believes, they're not my enemy. We disagree, and that's the problem, is too many people just listen to those. And those people are doing that for their own benefit, not yours. They get the clicks. They get the engagement. Or they get the votes if it happens to be someone that's running for office. And I don't care whether they lean left or they lean right. You don't benefit when you just listen to them. Use your own personal experience. Do you know anybody in your life that's trying to take your stuff? That's trying to end your way of life? Because your neighbors, some of them don't agree with you and see things the other way. And they don't want you to lose your way of life.
Well said.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.